to approach a rainy day and the second part of the shiur in the session will speak about rainbows and their significance. So tonight we're speaking basically about rainy days and rainbows. We have just begun asking for rain, and rain, as I'll say, is a very momentous thing when it rains. First of all, it's considered a day of judgment when it rains, and it's considered as important as the creation of heaven and earth. And it's also important, like the giving of the Torah, the resurrection of the dead, the kibbutz kolios, the ingathering of the exiles. When it rains, there's a certain amount of atonement for sins. And also the Gemara says, Yeshua parah v'ravavo. On a day of rain, salvation is very prolific. Now what does that mean? Sounds very awesome. And all it is a bunch of rain ruining somebody's day. First of all, the Yom HaDin. We know that on Hoshana Rabbah, where basically the judgment for rainfall for the year is concluded, and we pray for rain, we use the same nigunim in davening as Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We wear a kippur, and it's considered the seal, the conclusion of Yemei HaDin, because for all practical purposes, water, rainfall, is tantamount to life. Because if it doesn't rain, then there is no life. There's no water to drink, there's no vegetation to eat, and plants can't carry on photosynthesis, and there's no oxygen to breathe. So without rain, there's basically no life. So the judgment on rain is tantamount to the judgment of life and death. In addition to that, I found a very interesting Yefei Torah. I didn't see this Yefei Torah. Yefei Torah is a commentary on the Medrash Rabbah. And I saw it brought down in the commentary of Iyun Yaakov on the Ein Yaakov, the various agados in the Gemara. He brings down there a Yefei Torah. I looked it up where he says it is, and I couldn't find it. But he says that the Yefei Torah says that if the world was created in Tishrei, it was not created on the 25th day of Elul, and the first day of Tishrei was the day that man was created. But it was created on Yom Kippur, and the sixth day of creation was the first day of Sukkot. And the rabbis tell us that when God created the world, and he created vegetation, and he created trees, he didn't permit them to grow above the ground level until the sixth day. Unlike everything else that was created on the first day and put in place on the various days that the Torah speaks about that creation. But even though trees and vegetation were created on the third day, they didn't actually grow till the sixth day. Why? Because there was no one to recognize the goodness of the rain and pray for it. And on the sixth day when man was created, he recognized how necessary and good rainfall would be so the vegetation would grow, and he davened for rain and it rained. And since the first man on the day he was created, which according to this was the first day of Sukkot, according to Rebbe Lezer, prayed for rain, that's why according to Rebbe Lezer, he holds that you begin to pray for rain on the first day of Sukkot. We hold you begin to pray for rain 2 weeks after Sukkot, on the seventh day of Cheshvan. But Rebbe Lezer holds that you begin to pray for rain on the first day of Sukkot, and And in fact, it fits in very nicely with his opinion that man was created on the first day of Sukkot, and on the day he was created, he prayed for rain. And therefore, rain is an opportunity to recognize the goodness of God, and in that way to recognize God Himself. Because, as we said, rain is a necessity for life. And therefore, it's one of the things that God showers on this world, no pun intended, with His influence. And rain is something that only God brings. Rain is one of the keys in the world that God holds for Himself and doesn't give over to an agent is rainfall. And therefore, rainfall can't be created by human beings. The most we can do is seed clouds that already exist. We can't create clouds to seed. And even cloud seeding is not much more effective than rain dancing. So man can't create rain, and he can't even determine and predict accurately when it's going to come. Usually, you know if the rain, if the weatherman says it's going to rain, it's probably not. And if he tells you it's a clear day, take your umbrella. So, and therefore, since the experience of rain is an experience of God's tremendous goodness, when you pray and thank God for rain after a drought, it's a special prayer that you're supposed to say that there's been a period of drought, and now it rained. And part of that prayer is, Modi Manachnu Fanecha Al Kol Tikva V'Tikva. We thank you, God, for every drop of rain. It's not just we thank you for the rain falling down, but every drop is precious. And therefore, you can understand, and therefore it says, that God not only wants us to recognize the goodness and the necessity of rain, but He wants us to pray for it. He wants us to be significant, active, and dynamic in bringing the rain. And that's why, until the first man not only recognized how necessary rain is, not only recognized how good it was, but he doubted for it, did God actually bring the rain. And that way, we are partners with God in creation, because our prayers help to bring the rain, and in that respect, we become partners with God in developing the world. And that's why a rainy day is considered an echo of creation. And the Marsha takes it one step further. He says that when God created the world, He created it with midas hadin, with the attribute of judgment, justice. You get what you deserve. No free lunch. On the other hand, He then added rachamim, mercy, to mitigate that justice, because we don't always deserve what we need. So in order to give us what we need, even if we don't deserve it, God added the midah of rachamim. That's why by the creation it says, V'yom asos Hashem Elokim eretz v'shamayim. The day that God created earth and heaven, and God is referred to by two names, Hashem and Elokim. Hashem is rachamim, and Elokim is midas hadin. Elokim, midas hadin means God of nature. The God who created the limitations of the forces and powers of nature, and if you deserve it, those powers work, and if you don't deserve it, they don't work. Rachamim is beyond the limitations of nature, where a God tempers the justice with mercy. Now, it says by rain, the same thing. Ki lohim tir, Hashem lohim, al-ha'aretz. God did not cause it to rain on the earth before man was created. And He uses the same two names, Hashem and Elohim. Because many times we can deserve the influence that God sends to the world. And we deserve it by learning Torah, by doing mitzvahs. But when we don't deserve it from Torah and mitzvahs, then there's a third possibility, and that is tefillah, davening. Tefillah, davening, makes that when we don't deserve it, but we beg for mercy, we recognize how much we need God, and we admit that we can't do it on our own, and we put ourselves, as if to say, into God's hands, then we deserve mercy. So, by praying for the rain, it can become our rain. And the Marami Prab puts another dimension of how man is dynamic in bringing rain, even though it's God who actually brings the rain. Man is dynamic in so far that the rain comes from the heavens above. It's needed to satiate the ground below. So you need a creation that bridges heaven and earth to be able to bring the rain from above below. Man is that creation. Man has a body from the earth and a soul from the heavens. So man is the bridge to bring rain from above to the earth below. And the Midrash that says that three things are equal. Adam, man, Mutter, rain, and Arvitz, ground, earth. Earth, man, and rain are equal. Now many times when it says something is equal to something else, it doesn't mean that they're of equal importance or that they're equally weighty. It means that they're interdependent. They're dependent one on the other. For instance, it says that the mitzvah of tzitzis is shula to many other mitzvahs. It's equal to all the other mitzvahs. You can't understand that literally. That one mitzvah is equal to all the other mitzvahs. Shabbos, mitzvahs have much more serious punishments and rewards. And therefore, the simplest way to understand it is that in order to fulfill all the mitzvahs, you need the mitzvah of tzitzis to remind you about the other mitzvahs. So all the mitzvahs are dependent on tzitzis. The same thing. Eretz Yisrael is shula connected to all the mitzvahs. Living in Eretz Yisrael is equal to all the mitzvahs. That doesn't mean that if you live in Eretz Yisrael, it's like you fulfill the whole Torah, even if you don't. What it means is, in order to fulfill all the mitzvahs, you need Eretz Yisrael. Because if you don't live in Eretz Yisrael, you can never have all the mitzvahs. And even the mitzvahs that apply outside of Eretz Yisrael don't have their full impact except in Eretz Yisrael. So in order to fulfill all the mitzvahs, you need Eretz Yisrael. They're dependent one on the other, and therefore they're equal. Similarly, these three things, man, earth, rain, are dependent one on the other. How so? Man was put into this world to develop himself, perfect himself, and develop the earth along with him. And the way that he develops himself and develops the earth is through rain. You can't develop the earth unless it rains. So these three things are interdependent. Without rain, there can't be man or earth. Without earth, there's no need for rain, and there's no place for man. Without man, there's no need for the rain or for the earth. So they're interdependent, therefore they're equal. Now it's interesting that each of these designations has a second, at least a second word that describes it. Adam is also called Ish. Aretz, Adama is called Aretz, and Matar is called Geshem. So we have two designations for each of these. What's the idea? Adam is man in his raw state, taken from the earth, just like the earth has tremendous potential for growth. It's a medium for growth. Man in his raw state is a medium for growth. When he perfects himself, when he establishes himself, he becomes an Ish, a master. Adama is similarly the earth in its raw state. Aretz has a connection to Ratzon, to will. When man develops the earth and perfects it, it becomes Aretz. And that's a Geshem, Matron said. That's the reason, one of the Bible, they make a bracha. Morei pri ha'adama on their church. Then on bread, we make a bracha for amochi lechem min ha'arvish. Why do we say amochi lechem min ha'adama? Or morei pri ha'arvish. Why here is an adama and here arvish? So thinking because vegetables reflect the raw state of the earth. Because the vegetable is eaten in its raw state. Most of the food is cooked, you don't have to perfect it. There's no processing. But bread is processed. Bread is a perfection. It's a process. And therefore it's connected to arts, the more refined, perfected earth rather than the raw state of the earth. In addition, the Vilna Gaon says that when we say Amotzi Lechem in Haaretz, we're really burning down to Israel. The ability for bread to grow from the ground, meaning the wheat, which then can be perfected into bread, comes through Eretz Israel. And the rest of the world has bread only because of the influence that comes through Eretz Israel. But Eretz Israel is the most refined and perfected land. So it is hard, and everything compared to Eretz Israel is chutzar, it's not perfected comparative to the spiritual perfection of Eretz Israel. Now Geshem and Matar also has a similar idea. Geshem, says the Aruch HaShulchan, is the rain as it materializes. It gashmut. The rain materializes in the clouds and falls from the clouds. That's Geshem. When it reaches its destination, Matarah, it's Matar. So as the rain falls, it's called Geshem. When it hits the ground, it's Matar Arzachem. Aside from Matar of Pnei Haaretz. I want to add something to that. And that is, Geshem, we find in Tanakh, in the possessive state, Gishmeichem, your rain. We never find Mitrechem, your mother. We find Mitar Arzachem, Mitar Hashemayim, but not Mitrechem, your rain. Why? Because we can be dynamic through our prayers, through our Torah, through our mitzvahs of giving the materialization of rain Hashem. We were the ones who, through our merit, God materialized that rain. But ultimately, the effect that rain has is God's will. It's not our doing. We don't make the rain. We just are zochim. We merit having God bring the rain sometimes in our schools and sometimes not. Sometimes God brings the rain despite the fact that we don't deserve it, but the land deserves it. The animals deserve it. So then it's entire hearts of rain. It's your land rain, the goal, the matarah, the destination. But the itkashmut, sometimes the rain materializes in our source, in our merit. We should never think that we are the causative factor of what's it called, of the rain cycle. God does it. Sometimes he chooses to do it in our honor, in our merit. My four-year-old grandson, his mother works for a bank of Fort Lewis, Israel. So the bank gave all their employees umbrellas. And umbrellas for the children too. So my daughter-in-law brought home umbrellas for our children. And he got his new umbrella. This was a week ago. And he went to his father and he said, I want it to rain. I want to use my umbrella. His father said, okay, come out into our shed. And it'll rain. So he said to himself, I don't know what to say. So he went to his older sister, who was six. He said to her, So he said, Mashi Faruach, Morita Goshen. And he ran to the window, and it wasn't raining, he started crying. We shouldn't be like a little to try it, things that we say God will do. Right? We tell him, and then God decides if he wants to listen to our prayers or not, and bring us rain in our merit, perhaps. Or not in our merit. Or not at all. But ultimately, if we deserve it, and even minimally deserve it through our prayers, we can be the source of the materialization of the rain. But ultimately, when it hits the ground, that's God's will. That's why when we mention the strength of rain coming from the clouds, we say, Mashi Faruah Mori Hakosh. One reason is because we're talking about the rain as a force, a strength of God that's shown in the rain is when it's falling to the roots of the earth, not when it hits the earth. It's when it falls. It's a powerful force. So we say yes. In addition, we say, God, even though sometimes we can be the cause of that materialization of the rain, and it's called Gishmeta. In the Kukosai Teleko, the Nasati Gishmeta Beta. I'll give you your rain. But God, we really know it's not ours. You are giving it in our merit, but it's not ours. It's your son. You're the one who brings it. When we ask for rain, the same type of water, we say, God, we're not going to ask for too much. We don't necessarily want the rain in our merit, but just give it to us that you reach the destination. That's the most important thing. Whether it comes in our merit or not, out of God. But for asking for rain, don't ask for too much. Ask at least the rain to reach its destination, no matter why it materialized or not. That's why it says, from here we learn, the Gemara says, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Misaveh L'Tfilas Mishal Tzadikim. God desires the prayers of Tzadikim. Now, the Gemara could have used other words. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Homed Tfilas Mishal Tzadikim. Another word for desire. Why did it use the word Misaveh? So I found that the Ksav V'Kabbalah explains the difference between taiva and chenva in a different place. And based on that, you can explain over here why he uses the word that was borrowed from the Sade, the Tfilas Mishal Tzadikim. He says like this, chenva is something you want because the thing that you want is intrinsically valuable, beneficial, whatever. So I want it because it's chamut. It is something desirable. Taiva is even if the thing itself is not that desirable, it's not that beneficial in its essence, intrinsically, but I can make use of it. So that's called taiva. Taiva is when I want something because it's useful to me, not necessarily because it's intrinsically valuable. Therefore, the tefillos of tzaddikim are not intrinsically powerful that they help me without God. They're powerful because God makes them powerful. So God is not homemade then. It's not that he wants something intrinsically powerful, but he wants it because he will make it. He will make it powerful. So it's a title for those tilos, not a chenda, where the tilos themselves are intrinsically powerful. Then, so you can understand why when it rains, it's a tremendous experience of recognizing our power of perfecting the world, by the way. We have man who can perfect the world and make Adama into Eretz, and thereby make himself from Adam to each to a master. But there's a danger of that, because man may get carried away with himself, like we spoke about last time, and think that he's the master of everything. So God made a go-between, a necessity for there to be a meaning that man doesn't control to be able to accomplish that. Man can't transform Adama into Eretz and perfect it without rain. And rain is something that man can't produce. He knows that comes from the hand of God. So it's the mata and geshma that are the medium which man uses to perfect the earth and thereby perfect himself. And because Yeshua is something that's in the hands of God, reminds man of his limitations, what he can do and what he can't do. So therefore, all these important things, the giving of the Torah, also reminded man who he was, what his responsibility, what he can do, what he can't do. So similar to him, it's the same lesson. Trias HaNesim, the resurrection of the dead, Rhema resurrects the dead earth and helps to bring it life and bring human life and animal life. So it's a resurrection of the dead. It's a kibbutz godliness. When everybody be together and the purpose of the world will be obvious from a rainy day, you can understand that too. And so on with all the rest. I was thinking, maybe that's the reason why the halacha is that you don't ask for rain until the seventh day of Cheshvan, 2 weeks after Sukkot, because that's how long it took for the last traveler to cross the Euphrates River from being here, from Chutz Lawrence, tourists that came for Yomtev in Eretz Yisrael, from Kayim, the Mitzvah, Aliyah, the Rego. The stragglers left Eretz Yisrael 2 weeks later. So that nobody who's traveling, they came here from it, now they have to go back home, that they shouldn't be discomforted by the rain. So therefore, we refrain from asking for rain till the last tourists go home. Now, on the surface, that sounds very nice, but there's a contradiction to that. It says that the Kohen Gadol, when he was in the Holy of Holies, one of the prayers that he said in Yom Kippur, is that God should not listen to the prayers of travelers. Because the travelers are always, the tourists always praying for a nice day. They're wondering. And if God would listen to all their prayers, it would never rain them. So the Kohen Gadol dies by sharing to disregard the prayers of travelers that shouldn't rain. That means that the comfort of the traveler weighed out with the necessity for rain, rain outweighs the comfort of the traveler. So why over here we wait 2 weeks to ask for rain, which is important, just because how to discomfort travelers? Just thinking, because how you start something sets the pattern for everything that comes afterwards. And if the beginning of the rainy season, when we ask for rain, would be perceived as a nuisance to people who are traveling, people would say, here these tourists have to get home, and it's raining on them, and it's a nuisance. Then the whole rainy season would start with the perception that rain is a nuisance. What a terrible waste of being able to perceive it as it really is. It's a tremendous chesed Hashem, and all the other things that we mentioned, a person could think about on a rainy day. So therefore, the rabbi said, we're going to wake and start asking for rain when it's not a nuisance. So you'll be able to start asking for rain and not have this perception that it's a nuisance anyway. You'll be able to understand it. How did Adam know that there was such a thing as rain? He never saw it. So it says that there was a mist that came out of the earth and it created a cloud cover. We'll get to that in the next topic. It could be that since he was so smart, he was extremely wise, and he knew how to understand nature, and he showed from that that ultimately the rain that would come from the clouds would be much more effective than the mist. Could be a good question. Okay, yes.
But outside of Israel, rain isn't so important. The river is a lake, and all kinds of bodies of water. That would be the rain.
Many of them, many of the fresh water bodies of water, their source is rainfall. It's from snows that melt into the rivers or whatever. Many rivers, lakes are either man-made, if they're God-made, they are supplied by snow, rainwater, whatever. There are mostly not underground springs that supply water, but rather rainfall is present. When there's no rain, the rivers and the lakes also go down.
Rabbi Left.
Yes.